The Bible reading for today is from Matthew 6. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you have forgiven other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
We are continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer, and I thought it was really interesting that last week we actually had some special guests, the Parrots from MAF, who are involved in mission to rural communities. And Shannon brought us a really good word about rest. So it's kind of like we started doing the Lord's Prayer, and then we had a rest, and now we're continuing doing the Lord's Prayer. That was funnier in my own mind. But anyway, but this time when we're doing the Lord's Prayer, picking up the story, it's personal. And the reason why it's personal this time around, because the part that we're looking at this morning from the Lord's Prayer is the part where it talks about our role, where it's the bit where we have to do something. A lot of the Lord's Prayer is about, how wonderful God is and what he's about and what he's doing and all that kind of stuff. And the verse we're looking at this morning is the bit where we are committing to doing something. And that something is, of course, if you want to fill in the blanks on the screen, forgive us our, as we forgive. There's a few of them. Okay, good. And we all want to be forgiven, don't we? None of us are perfect. We want to be forgiven. And I don't know about you, but I've had some experiences in my life where it's hard to forgive others for what they have done. And you probably do too. So we're going to have a look at this verse together, and we're going to try and understand this verse a little bit better and see how we go. Now, one thing which is really interesting about this Lord's Prayer thing is that the English word that we use here when we ask to be forgiven, because I set you up before when I said fill in the blanks, because there's a few different words that people use for the Lord's Prayer. There's a whole bunch of different sort of ways to pray it. Who here prays forgive us our debts? Do we have a show of hands? Forgive us our debts when you pray the Lord's Prayer? Not, there's a couple. Who prays forgive us our sins? Oh, there's a lot of those ones. And who here prays forgive us our trespasses? I'm a trespasses person. And it's really interesting because it's to do with, what faith tradition you were influenced by, where, which church you were part of growing up or whatever. I have a Salvation Army background, and I pray forgive us our trespasses, because that came from the Methodist / Anglican roots of the Salvos. Those who play debts are more of like the Presbyterian Reformed traditions, and sins is more of a ecumenical, liturgical kind of thing, just so you know. So which one is right, okay? Who's got the right prayer? Who's praying it right, and who's missing the mark here? What does the original Greek say, you ask? Well, let's find out whose Lord's Prayer is the best. Okay, so Matthew 6:12, we are asking here to be forgiven our, in Greek, ophelema, which means owing a financial or moral debt. It's an obligation. So the Greek here says it's debts. The Reformed Presbyterians have won the day. But have they? It's a bit more complicated than that, because if you keep reading the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, that bit that Joey read at the end there was, for if you forgive other people when they trespass against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So immediately after the Lord's Prayer, he's talking about this other word, and it's not ophelema, this is paraptoma, and it means, overstepping the mark. So going outside the bounds of where you're supposed to operate. So I guess we give a point to the Anglicans and Methodists there, because, they're using the word trespasses. That's also part of this whole Lord's Prayer thing. But then, wait, there's more. Go over to Luke's Gospel, and What does Luke write when he's recording the Lord's Prayer? He uses the word hamartia to talk about sin, which is just means sin. That's the normal word in the Bible for sin. So what's going on here? Like, we've got all these Greek words used for the same thing. Like, is it confused? Is it conflicting? Which is the correct one that we should pray? And the answer, of course, is all of them. All of them. We need forgiveness for all of the ways in which we do wrong. And we need to forgive others in all of the ways that they have wronged us. Whether it be because we have incurred a debt or overstepped the bounds of what God has told us to live or just any type of sin. We need to be forgiven for all these things and we need to forgive others in all these ways. I find it really interesting and challenging that how broad this idea of forgiveness is that is promised to us and how broad it is that we're expected to show. I mean, it's not just about someone calling you names and forgiving them, or not just someone cutting you off on the Bruce Highway when you're just minding your own business. The scope of sin here is bigger than that. There is more than just a suggestion of financial debts here, that if someone lends you money and they don't pay you back, well, you should forgive them. And this is difficult for us to understand with our understanding of the world, because this is not how the world works, especially in the 21st century capitalist world we live in. But that's how the kingdom of God works. That is the thy kingdom come, thy will be done prayer that we pray at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says in Luke 6:35, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And what Jesus was instructing here wasn't completely new. If you remember from the Old Testament, every 50 years, they had a Jubilee year where debts were cancelled and land that was sold because people ran into financial hardship was all returned to the original family. Jesus is taking this Jubilee principle and applying it more broadly to this new kingdom he's talking about, a kingdom where generosity is the new currency. So that's all very interesting and maybe a little bit heavy and challenging for us. So if you're not sure about this whole, if you're not sure about this whole forgiveness thing because it's a bit, you know, generous, here's some really great news for you when you forgive others. When you forgive others, you forgive someone who's done something bad for you, it's good for you. And we don't just know that from the Bible. This is not just a kingdom of God thing. This is something which has been argued from the social sciences as well. There's considerable literature amongst psychologists and social workers and people who walk with people through difficult times, which argues that forgiveness is good for you. And they argue for this from a completely secular perspective. It's well attested in these circles that staying angry, resentful, and vengeful causes us significant heartache. Those feelings have a detrimental impact on emotional health and in our relationships. In numerous studies, people who reported high levels of forgiveness report better health habits, decreased depression, less anxiety, and more satisfied relationships. Isn't that good? So we forgive not just because God tells us to do it. It's actually good for us. But wait, there's more. We don't have to worry about whether justice will be done when we forgive someone, because God makes it very clear in the Bible that he is a God of justice. He promises again and again that we don't need to take the law into our own hands and see that justice is done. He will take care of it. Ecclesiastes 3:17 says, God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there is will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed. Romans 12:19 says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. And my personal favorite, 1 Thessalonians 4:6. See that no one transgresses and wrongs his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. And I must say that I was very, very disappointed with the recent run of Marvel movies, because it says here quite clearly in 1 Thessalonians 4:6 that the Lord is an avenger. But they did not include Jesus in the Avengers movie, and he wasn't there in the Age of Ultron, and he wasn't in Infinity War, and I had high hopes for Endgame, but wasn't there. If you haven't seen the movies, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. But there's a picture of what could have been if the movie makers had, you know, read this verse in 1 Thessalonians and recognized the Lord as an avenger. That's a bit of fun. But the truth is for us, that when we don't forgive someone, we stand in the place of judgment over them. And that place of judgment, that's God's place. That's God's throne. When we don't forgive someone, it's like we are trying to take the place of God as judge and king. Instead of praying, thy will be done, we are praying, my will be done. And we're standing in judgment over them. We are taking the place of God, which is not a good place for us to be in at all. The fact of the matter is that when people do wrong things by us and hurt us, we don't know the full story. We don't know what kind of day they've had, or we don't know what kind of life they've had. We don't know the contributing circumstances that contributed to the way they acted the way they did. We don't know them like God knows them. We can't know, therefore, what is a fair consequence for their actions. But when we don't forgive someone, we're acting like we do. We are saying that we know best in this situation. We are deciding for ourselves what is good and evil and right and wrong, and we are carrying out our will. Of course, this is a problem which has been around for a long time. When we are wronged by someone, it's like we are given a choice to make about how we're going to respond in this situation. We can choose to trust God, or we can decide for ourselves what is good and evil. And to me, that sounds a lot like the story we read about the first humans in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3, verses 8 to 9 says, "Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." So the first humans were in this garden, and in the middle of the garden were two trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God told the humans they were free to take from any tree except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They therefore had a choice to make. Were they going to trust God and take him at his word and learn from him about what was good, trusting that he would give them everything they need? Or were they going to decide for themselves what was good in their eyes and take from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Of course, they chose not to trust God, and they chose instead to decide for themselves what was good and evil. Instead of eating from the tree of life, they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And this is the choice that is presented to us every time someone wrongs us. It's like we're teleported back there into the Garden of Eden, and we have a choice to make. Which tree are we going to eat from? Are we going to eat from the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Are we going to forgive, let go, and trust God to deal with it and eat from the tree of life? Or are we going to hold them to account? Are we going to stand in judgment against them, decide for ourselves what is good, and take from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Jesus showed us what a life of trusting God looks like. He was full of forgiveness. He did not condemn those who were putting him to death. Even though he was God and he could have justly judged those who wronged him, he didn't. He demonstrated what the kingdom of God was like. He loved his enemies and he chose to eat from the tree of life instead. And Jesus says in John 10:10 that he came so that we could have life and have it to the full. And we can have that life by living the way that he showed us, by not standing in the place of judgment. Instead, by walking in forgiveness, rejecting the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and choosing instead to eat from this tree of life that he has given us. So therefore, we as disciples of Jesus, we are all about forgiveness. Because we have been forgiven, because it is what God calls us to do, and because it is good for us. But here's a question for you this morning. This forgiveness that I've been talking about, which is such a wonderful thing, is it an event? Is it a one-off? Or is it a journey? When we forgive someone who has hurt us, is it something that happened? Or is it something that happens over a period of time? And from what I can tell, it depends on how serious the pain and hurt is. Sometimes when we are hurt particularly badly, it causes grief and trauma. And grief and trauma aren't things that just happen and then stop. Grief and trauma are an event, and then there's a journey. There's an event that happens when someone is hurt in a significant way, and then there is the journeying through that pain, and the healing journey can take quite a while. Many of you would know this better than me. Those who have suffered significant loss or hardship or abuse or any of those things, there are deep wounds that many have suffered. And in this church, in any church, sometimes we expect people to get over hurts really quickly because, you know, we're people about forgiveness, right? But the fact of the matter is that some hurts are so deep that we can never get over them. Sometimes God in His grace does a miracle and we walk in complete healing immediately, but some wounds leave a scar which never fully heals. And we just learn to manage those hurts. And God uses this time and this pain to reveal more and more of His ever-present grace and provision for us. Grief and trauma are an event, but they are also a journey. And because of that, forgiveness is also an event and a journey. When someone wrongs us deeply, we want to forgive them. But if that hurt has caused trauma, forgiveness becomes a journey, something that we need to walk in daily rather than a one-off. Sometimes when we are hurt in ways that we never have before, we need God to teach us new ways in how to forgive. But when you think about it, being a disciple is also an event and a journey. There is an event when we choose Christ, and then there is a lifetime of discipleship. We are formed into the likeness of Christ, and forgiveness can be just like that. It's also important to understand along this journey that forgiveness, what forgiveness is and what it isn't. Forgiveness is not about minimizing the sin or the offense that was caused. It's not about downplaying how much we have been hurt. Forgiveness is not saying, oh, it was nothing, and moving on. No. Forgiveness starts with acknowledging the pain, fully understanding our hurt and what has been done to us. Forgiveness can involve, as part of the healing journey, telling the other person the full extent of the pain that has been done. Forgiveness is not turning back the clock to what things were like before and pretending nothing happened. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Once trust has been broken, it takes time to mend. In some cases, boundaries need to be put in place to prevent harm. And if you're in a situation now where someone is continuing to cause you hurt, and you say it's okay and they just do it again and again, I suggest that that relationship needs to be renewed and maybe some boundaries need to be set up in place, and I'd urge you to get help from friends in organizing some of that. Forgiveness is finding that place where all involved can forge new futures, sometimes together and sometimes slightly apart, where each can put down the hatchet, put down the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and take from the tree of life, trusting in God from the future. A number of years ago, I had my own story of forgiveness that I had to embark on. Part of my story is I was previously a congregational pastor in a Salvation Army church, and that was a unique situation, and there was an appointed leader over the entire church community. And the appointed leader had some different ideas about how they wanted to make some changes in the church. And they weren't bad ideas, made sense, but so many of the church were just not on board with what this person was wanting to do, and it was causing conflict in the place. And I did what I could to try and my best to try and sort things out and mediate and play my role well. But things were not getting better, and I could not follow where this leader wanted to go. So as a result of that, I had to make the heartbreaking decision to resign from that ministry. I loved that church. That was supposed to be the church I was going to die in. That was my forever church. And then it was ended. So my dream of being a church pastor was all over, and that was pretty awful. When it came to walking away, you know, I tried to finish well. I tried to make sure everything was reconciled as best as it could be while people were having strong disagreements about things. I was hurt myself. I sought counseling, and I tried to make sure everyone, you know, I had forgiven and all that kind of stuff. But sometime later, I found out, you know, what had happened afterwards. And basically, the changes had gone through and had not gone well, and everything had fallen in a heap. So I had two emotions when I found the news that things had gone terribly. I had an overwhelming sense of sadness that so many people were hurting and no longer had a church home. And you know what the other emotion was? I told you so. Serves them right. Justice has been done. And it made me realize that I had not fully forgiven. I'd taken from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and I'd stood in God's place of judgment. And so I continued on that journey of forgiveness and had more work to do. And I want to tell you today that I'm all good now that I've, you know, I've made it. But have I? What happens tomorrow when someone gives me more news about something? Am I going to respond? Or do I still have work to do? Am I still a work in progress? I don't know. I hope I will respond the way that Jesus would. The time will tell. How have you responded to the hurt and pain that others have caused you? Are you eating from the tree of life? Or are you still holding on to the knowledge of good and evil, standing in the place of judgment over someone? I'm sure a number of you have been hurt in ways which cannot be put into words. In a church this size, there are probably victims of violence and abuse and some of the terrible kinds of evil. Remember, forgiveness is not about minimizing what was done. It's about fully acknowledging and recognizing the pain that was done. My prayer is for each of us that we can each demonstrate to others what the kingdom of God is like by the grace and forgiveness that we show both to others in this church and also others outside this church. I pray that we may be agents of reconciliation, mending broken relationships wherever we can, and in situations where we have suffered significant trauma, to forge different relationships with appropriate boundaries, and pray that God might bless the ones who hurt us so. And we pray this prayer because we are the ones who have been forgiven first. Because while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. And if he died for us, then we should live for him by forgiving like him. Let's pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, holy be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin, who trespass against us and our debtors. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, these are hard words to pray, especially the ones where we have to forgive. God, please, this morning, open up our eyes to the ways in which we are hanging on to things that we should just let go. Help us to put down the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and take up the fruit from the tree of life. Help us to eat of it daily and to share your forgiveness everywhere we go. Help us to be agents of reconciliation, both in relationships that we have with others and also where we see warring parties around us. Help us to speak out the truth of the kingdom of God, where there is restoration and there is forgiveness. That is a message, God, that our community needs to hear, and we have a wonderful opportunity to do that. So God, as we move into a song now, as we reflect on that, I just want to pray that you might speak to us very clearly about the ways that we can let go and that you can bring healing into those lives that need it this morning, those who have been hurt so by others. Help us to be like Jesus more and more as we walk in forgiveness, as we forgive others and accept your forgiveness for us. Thank you, God. Amen.